said, I'm the true vine, my Father's the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, except the, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I'm the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you're in the habit of marking your Bible, I want you to mark the first phrase in verse number 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. And I want to preach to you on the branches. Let's pray together, and we want to bring this sermon to you. Our Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for what our ears have already heard, our hearts have felt. And I want to confess before you this evening that I cannot preach if you don't help me. Help me to preach with clarity, with compassion and conviction. May thy will be done tonight. Forgive my sins. Help me to be a clean vessel, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been doing a study on the different names of Christians. And may I say to you that this study has been a blessing to me. We've looked at the name ambassadors. We've looked at the name salt of the earth, light of the world. We've looked at the name children of God. We've looked at the name the righteous. And tonight we come to the name the branches. Now in this study, I'm wanting to say to you that every name God gives his children shows us different aspects, if you will, of the Christian life. God gives his children different names to show us what all he's done for us, in other words. Now in chapter 13, we see Judas Iscariot has already left the room and is in progress of betraying our Lord. Therefore, we see our Lord in chapter 15 here is speaking to those who were believers. There's no mixed company here. These men that he was speaking to believed in him. Now with this in mind, we see our Lord making a clear statement in verse 5. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Now in other words, he's speaking to those who are in his family. If you are a child of God, you are a branch tonight. Now stay with me here. Now let's look at the branches. And by the way, let me say this, what an exalted privilege to be known as a branch in the vine known as Jesus Christ. Now there's 5 things I want to share with you about the branches. And keep in mind, if you are saved, you are a branch. Now I've got a fake tree up here tonight. Keep in mind, the key word is fake. Now I asked Brother Bob to carry it up here. I noticed it took him 2 hands. It only took me 1. But anyway, the fact of the matter is, I want you to picture with me that this tree trunk coming up and the roots down, just use your imagination, are a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every one of these branches up here that you see leaves on is a picture of a child of God. I'm preaching on the branches. Now there's 5 things I want you to notice with me quickly tonight, as quickly as we can. Number 1, let's notice the branches' position. Look at verse number 2. The Bible says, for every branch, here it is, in me. Amen. That's a blessing right there. Notice how our Lord is careful to identify the position of these branches. The position of these branches are in me. You know, there are many people in religion, and there are plenty of people in the church. There are many moral and upstanding people, but this does not mean that they are in Jesus Christ. You cannot be a branch that is fruitful for the glory of God. You cannot have anything else from or with God without having a relationship to God first. You must be in Christ. What a great position that is. It means that there's been a time when you've realized that you're a sinner, that you believe that Jesus Christ died as your substitute, and you accept him as your Savior by placing your faith in the finished work of Christ on Calvary. Don't turn to it, but in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, verse number 9 and verse number 13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Keep this in mind, biblical teaching. When you were born into this world, you were born in Adam.
In other words, you inherited Adam's sin nature. You and I were born in Adam. But when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, He took us out of Adam and placed us into Himself. He transplanted us, if you will, and now our position is not only in Adam, we are now in Christ. That's our position tonight. And it's an exalted position to be in Him. The Bible says in Romans 8:1, there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 1:30, but of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who is of God made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. 1 Corinthians 15:22, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man be in Christ, He's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Galatians 3:28, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. He's very careful to identify the position of the branches. The position is in Him. Number two, we notice the branches' purpose. This is brought out in verses 2, 4, and 5. Look at it, verse 2. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it bring forth more fruit. Look at verse number 4. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Now in chapters 13 and 14 of John, we are taught what Christ is doing for us while He's away. In this chapter, we see what we're to be and to do for Him while He is away. And make no mistakes about it, the branch's purpose is one. The branch's purpose is to bear fruit, get it, now. Now. Let me show you what I mean. Notice the language in verse 2. Every branch in me that what? What tense is that verb? That's the present tense. It doesn't say every branch in me that bore fruit or that will bear fruit. He says every branch in me that beareth fruit. God's will is for His branches to be always bearing fruit. It's always present tense. There's always people who look back in the future and say, look what I did, or one day I'm going to. God's not in the past. Listen, He's not interested in the past. He's not even interested in the future right now. He wants you to live for Him now. Now. Are you bearing fruit right now? Now, before we go any further in this, let me give you some thoughts about the fruit. Now, some try to say that this fruit here is confined to something that is an outward show. In other words, something that you do. However, let me tell you something. This deceives. If that's true, then some people, listen to me. Those people who think that the fruit here that Jesus is talking about is all an outward show, something that other people can see or whatever the case may be. If the person believes that, number one, it's going to deceive some people into thinking that they can operate in the energy of the flesh and be fine. As long as I'm doing, God is pleased with me. Listen, your doing should come out of your being. Did you hear what I said? You ought to be what you ought to be, so you will do what you ought to do. And there's a lot of people who are doing, trying to earn God's favor. That's not fruit. It deceives those operating in the flesh. And secondly, if that was true, it discourages those who can't do what they used to. Is there anybody in here who just cannot do what you used to do for the Lord? Amen. It's coming to every one of us, right? If it was all an outward show, like everything that you do, then it's going to discourage people who can't do as much as they used to do, and they'll think that God's no longer pleased with them. Don't you see that? Here's what I'm saying. I'm trying to help you understand what the fruit is. The purpose of the branches is to bear fruit. What's the fruit? We must keep in mind, now don't miss this, the fruit the branches are bearing is not the fruit of the branch. It's the fruit of the vine. In other words, the fruit is produced by the vine and only carried by the branches. In other words, whatsoever summarizes the, the vine should summarize the branch. Let me show you something here and see if you can think what this sounds like. Philippians 1:11, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. John 14:27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. John 15:11, these things have I spoken to you that your joy might be full. Does this sound like something to you? Stay with me now. 2 Corinthians 5:14, for the love of Christ constraineth us. 2 Corinthians 10:1, now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. It is simply bearing what comes from the vine, and it sounds a whole lot like the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. Look at Galatians chapter 5. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5 just a moment. Galatians chapter 5, and look at verse number 22. In other words, I'm trying to show you something, just like this fake tree up here, these fake branches. Now, just imagine that all this is real. The only reason why these branches have green leaves on them is because they are in the vine. They are taking the life out of the vine. But this is not the branch's leaves. This is the vine's leaves. The branch here is just manifesting to the world what the vine is really like. Do you see that? Now, Jesus Christ has joy, he has peace, he has meekness, he has long-suffering, he has a love, he has all these things. And the Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, 22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Who is that? You realize the fruit of the Spirit is not something, it's someone. That's Jesus Christ, folks. That's the Lord. He is long-suffering. He is love and joy and peace and goodness and faith and meekness. And that's the Lord. And now it is God's will for his branches to yield themselves to him so his life can be manifested through them to a lost and a dying world. Now what are we talking about? If we're bearing the fruit of the vine, it means that we're just like the vine. Now, stay with me here. Does this mean that there's no outward fruit? Does it? No, there is outward fruit. Let me show you some of these things. Hebrews 13, 15, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips. The fruit of our lips. Giving thanks to God. The Bible says praising God with our lips is a fruit. Secondly, giving to those in need is a fruit. We see this, you don't have to turn to it, but in the book of Philippians chapter number 4 and verses 16 and 17, the Bible says this. It says, for even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound towards you. Or to your account. This is also found back in the book of Romans, chapter number 15 and verse number 26, where the Bible teaches this. Now stay with me here because I'm trying to show you something. Romans chapter 15 and verse number 26 says this. It says, for it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are, for if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. When therefore I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain. In other words, giving to those in need is an outward fruit. Do you realize doing good works is an outward fruit? In Colossians 1:10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful unto every good work. And then in John chapter 4, verses 32 through 36, I'm not going to turn to it for time's sake, but we see that leading others to Christ is also an outward fruit. But now don't miss me here. I'm getting ready to come back and tie all this together because I realize it's getting a little bit confusing. I know that. Stay with me here. We're trying to show you the purpose of the branch is to bear the fruit of the vine. So many people think that just means an outward show of things. What you're doing. No. That's a byproduct. The fruit is being who he is. letting him live through you. And when he's living through you, he will give praise to God. He will give to those in need. He will do good works. And he will start leading other people to Christ. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 16:15, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia. Romans 1:13, now I will not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purpose to come unto you that I might have some fruit among you. Here's what I'm saying. These outward shows, praising God, leading others to Christ, listen, people can do that in the flesh. Did you hear what I'm saying? But if they are truly abiding in the vine and bearing the fruit, they can't help but do those things. Now my question is are you doing those things? Are you praising God? Are you doing good works? Are you giving to those in need? Are you leading others to Christ? If your answer is yes, my question is this, why? Are you doing it to try to earn favor with God? Or are you doing it because you just can't help it because he's just flowing through you and he's living through you? Do you see the difference? That's the Christian life. In other words, these outward shows are not the fruit. They're only byproducts of the fruit. And the fruit is Jesus Christ being like him. You cannot confine it to outward show. If you have the fruit of the vine, it will produce all these other things. These things should follow from following or abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ. Number one, we notice the position of the branches is in Christ. Number two, the purpose of the branches is to bear the fruit of the vine. And when you bear the fruit of the vine, in other words, it's coming from the vine. I'm talking about literally being like the Lord Jesus Christ. He's living through you. It will manifest itself in outward show. But that's because you can't help it because you have the fruit coming out of you, you understand? It's not to get his favor, it's because he's living through you and you can't help but do those things. That's the purpose. Number three, we notice the power of the branches. Brought out in verses 4 and 5, back to our text. Well, the Bible says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except you abide in the vine. No more can you except you abide in me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Now an obvious question is this concerning the purpose of bearing fruit. In other words, how can the branch bear fruit? It's the purpose of the branch to bear the fruit of the vine. How can it do it? Well, make no mistakes about it. The power to produce fruit comes from abiding. Abiding in Christ. Now we've already established the fact that the branches are in Christ, who is the vine. But now they are to abide in him to bear more and much fruit. In other words, the branch cannot bear fruit without the power of the vine running to it. The branches are completely dependent upon the life of the vine. Now, I brought something with me tonight. I stepped right outside and I found me a little branch here. Now, this branch here was just laying on the ground. Now, I know this is fake, but let's just pretend like it's real. What's the difference here? What's the difference? The difference is this is alive, this is not. Now it's still a branch, praise God, still a branch, but it doesn't have the life coming to it, you understand? Now because of that, it's look here, it's useless. It's useless. Let me ask you a question. I'm getting ahead of myself. Which one of these is you? Sobering question, isn't it? Which one of these is you? This one or that one? Are you abiding in the Lord? It's talking about having daily fellowship, abiding fellowship, sustained conscious communion with Jesus Christ. This abiding has to do with allowing the life of the vine to live on in the branches. Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Notice verses 4 and 5, you cannot do anything good apart from the vine. Nothing. Our sufficiency is in the vine. 2 Corinthians 3:5. Our sufficiency is not in ourselves. It is in God. We are completely dependent on the vine to produce the fruit in our lives. Fellowship is absolutely necessary if you're going to be a fruitful branch. Psalm 92:13 and 14. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. Hosea 14:8. From me is thy fruit found. In other words, the the purpose of the branch is to bear fruit, and the only way they can bear fruit is if they abide in the vine. You have to draw the life from the vine. Are you consistently and daily drawing life from Jesus Christ? Are you living in your strength? Are you living in the power of the Holy Spirit? Is what I'm asking. Are you abiding? Are you drawing life from the vine? There was a man who told a story of a small town in Texas where one year the school burned to the ground with the loss of more than 200 lives because it didn't have a sprinkler system, of all things. They began to rebuild after the initial shock had passed and called in the foremost company in fire prevention equipment to install a sprinkler system. When the new school was opened for public inspection, guides pointed out to the new sprinklers in each room to alleviate fears of another disaster. The school operated without incidents for a number of years, and then they added on to the existing structure. And when they added on to the existing structure, they found a startling discovery. The discovery was this, that the new extinguishing equipment had never been connected to the water supply. Now get this. They had the latest in technology and the latest in equipment, but it was entirely useless because it didn't have any power source. Are you listening to me? You may be able to speak like nobody can speak. You may have all the education in the world. You may have everybody bowing down to you and wanting to be just like you. But let me tell you something. You're nothing without Jesus Christ. Neither am I. Neither am I. We've got to have His power running into us. We've got to have Him. Got to have Him. Thank God we're a branch tonight if you're a branch. Amen. Thank God for that. Thank you. Thank God you're in Him. But now He wants you to abide in Him. He wants you to draw from Him. He wants to let His life live on in you. And so you can start bearing fruit. Bearing His fruit. What a beautiful picture the Lord's painting for us, isn't it? Beautiful. Then number four, quickly. We notice the branches purging. This is brought out in verses 2 and 3. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. Now what's this mean? It's interesting to know that the branches that are bearing fruit, they're bearing fruit. Not the ones not, but the ones who are, He purges them. What's this mean? It has reference to cleaning. In other words, it's talking about the washing off of the deposits of insects, moss, and other parasites. The purging is designed to make us more fruitful. Stay with me here. When the gardener sees a branch that is producing fruit, he removes things from the branch that sap its vitality and strength. Things like sucker branches or useless buds or misdirected shoots or spots or discolored leaves. In other words, anything that consumes life but produces no fruit, it must go. You understand? So it is in the life of the believer. There are so many things in us and around us that can hamper our walk with the Lord. When we begin to be fruitful, we can rest assured that He will cleanse us through the purging process. Why? Because He wants us to give more fruit and more fruit. When we allow things into our lives that hinder our walk, our abiding, you understand? When we allow things in our life that sucks out life but brings no fruit, we're in danger of purging. By the way, our Father, the precious husbandman, is tenderly watching us. He's tenderly protecting us, and He's tenderly purging us to make us more like the vine. By the way, the instrument He uses is His precious word. He tells us that in verse number 3. He said, now you're clean through the word which I've spoken to you. You know, although He might use things like suffering in the purging process, the divine pruning instrument is the word of God. See, Jesus told the disciples that they were spiritually purged or cleansed through the Word. Affliction is only the handle, somebody said, of the knife where God gets His grip. You ever noticed how much more sensitive you and I are to the Word of God when we're in trouble? You ever noticed that? So God can use other things, but what's He doing when He's using them? He's drawing us to His Word. You see what I'm saying? Trouble opens our eyes to receive the divine surgery performed by the Word. A trial may put pressure on us and help us to develop spiritual muscles. But the Word is the two-edged sword that does the cutting. Hebrews 4:12. Spurgeon said this. He said, it is the Word that prunes the Christian. It is the truth that purges him. The scripture made living and powerful by the Holy Spirit effectually cleanses the Christian. Affliction is the handle of the knife. Affliction is the grindstone that sharpens the word. Affliction is the dresser that removes our soft garments and lays bare the diseased flesh so that the surgeon's knife may get at it. Affliction merely makes us ready to feel the word. But the purger or the pruner is the word in the hand of the great vine dresser. Powerful, powerful statement. 2 Corinthians 7:1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all unfilthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Psalm 119:9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. Number one, we've noticed the position of the vines. Number two, the branches. Number two, we've noticed the purpose of the branches, the power of the branches, the purging of the branches. And finally, we notice the peril of the branches, or in other words, the danger. This is brought out in verse number 6 in John 15. If a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Now get it. These folks who think you can lose your salvation will have a time with that verse right there. Now, I'm getting ready to blow it all out of the water here, folks. You know, God simplified this so much that if we just take it at face value, you know that's not what it's teaching. I'll tell you why. Who are the branches? Who? Yes, let me ask you a question. When this thing fell off the tree, is it still a branch? Is it? Sure it is. Now I'm getting ahead of myself. Thank God, even when you are not drawing life from the vine, you're still a branch. Amen. You're still a branch. Now stay with me here, because I'm gonna do a little bit of a Bible study here with you. And I gotta hurry. Good night alive. I've got a page and about a fourth here, so let me hurry here. There is a danger for the branches to be aware of. Some would try to say it's losing your salvation. However, we know this is not true, because it would contradict other clear Bible teaching. Now, I don't have time to go into all this. Let me just give you some verses. John 4:14, God's children never thirst. What about John 10:28, they'll never perish? He didn't say they'll never perish if they don't lose it. He said they will never perish. Take it at face value, folks. That's what it means. He said they'll never perish, then they'll never perish. Thank God for that. Then he goes on, John 18:9, he lost none. Let me ask you a question. What are children of God's name? Saved, right? That's another name. We're saved. What's children of the devil's name? Lost. And yet Jesus said, I'm not going to lose anybody. None of mine's going to be lost. Then he goes on, what about Romans 5:9-10? We're saved from wrath. Romans 8:35-39, nothing shall separate us from the love of God. Nothing. Even when they're cast away, they're still branches. Secondly, some people try to make you think that Christ is only speaking of those who were never saved. They were never saved. But understand, folks, you got to look at the context. Look at the context. The context is abiding. How can you abide in something unless you're not in it? Excuse me. How can you abide in something unless you're in it first? You're abiding in this auditorium. You can't abide in this auditorium if you're not in it. Amen? I mean, think with me, folks. Just be simple about it. I mean, the only way you can abide in here is when you get in here. Now you're remaining in here. The issue is not getting in. The issue is staying in. Now stay with me here. You cannot abide in something unless you are already in it. All this said, what in the world is he talking about? What's he talking about? What is the branch's peril? Now, in order to understand what Christ is speaking of, we must keep the context in mind. Salvation is not the issue. He's not talking about salvation here, folks. He's talking about abiding and drawing life from him. Now, right here is what it is. He is talking about fellowship. Now, therefore, we see the peril of the branches who are not abiding or drawing, fellowshipping in the vine. The peril is a loss of power and a loss of reward. Let me show you something. This is interesting. Now, I can't prove this, but you can't disprove it, okay? It's that simple. I want to show you something. It's interesting. In verse number 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. Now, is that talking in singular terms? Yes. He, singular, cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather. What's the next word? Them. And they are burned. Now, I can't prove this, but this came out in my study and I like it. That doesn't mean if I like it, I'm just going to preach it as truth, but I'm telling you, this is something that could be what the Lord's saying. We know He's not talking about losing your salvation because of the rest of the Bible. Amen? One part of the Scripture is not going to contradict I'm talking about everything else. So we know He's not talking about that. We know He's not talking about those who weren't even saved because there were no unsaved people in the room when He was talking to these people. He said, you're the branches. You understand what I'm saying? Context. And what's He talking about? The only logical explanation is that He's talking about a loss of power and a loss of reward. Let me show you what I'm talking about. If you'll flip over to 1 Corinthians with me just a moment, 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, I want you to see this for yourself. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 13. Now, I'm just about through. Stay with me now, okay? I've got about a half a page of notes. I'm done. You know that means nothing, right? 1 Corinthians 3, 13. Look at it. Every man's work should be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall trial every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned. By the way, that's the same word used in John chapter 6. The same word. Right there it is. Same word. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved. Yet so as by fire. Now, 2 John 8 says, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we've wrought, but that we receive a full reward. 1 Corinthians 9, 27, but I keep unto my body and bring it into subjection, lest it by any means when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. What am I saying? Jesus Christ, I'm talking about right here. Listen, don't ever trip over a passage of Scripture that you can't fully understand. Let me tell you one way that you don't trip on it. It never contradicts clear Bible teaching elsewhere. Did you hear what I just said? Can we fully understand what He meant? No, because I wasn't there. You understand what I'm saying? But I know He's not talking about losing your salvation, because if He did, then He lied to me in other portions of Scripture. Amen, folks. Are you with me tonight? We know He's not talking about unbelievers because there's no unbelievers in the room. He has to be talking about a loss of reward because it lines up with everything else in Scripture. Now, what's a biblical example of this? Lot. Was Lot a saved person when he moved into Sodom? Was he saved? What's the Bible say? Just Lot. Hey, he was saved, but everything he did in his life burned up in Sodom. Everything. But he was taken out. He was saved. Now, heed the warning. Do not become, look here folks, a useless branch. Don't do it. Don't do it. It's an exalted privilege to be a branch. Thank God you're a branch. If you're saved, you're a branch. If you're not saved tonight, you can be a branch tonight. Amen. And thank God when that happens, He puts you in Him forever. That's salvation. But your fellowship is your decision. It's your decision. Are you going to draw from Him? Are you going to sap the life from Him? Are you going to live in your strength and dry up and wither away and lose your reward? Or are you going to say, you know, I can't do this on my own. I've got to have Him. I can do nothing without Him. Help me remain in you. Not salvation, folks. Abiding, fellowship, communion, receiving life from Him on a day-to-day basis. What a wonderful picture our Lord has given us concerning His children in the name of a branch. We need our Lord to live a life of production for Him. Don't be a branch that's not bearing fruit. And by the way, don't buck up against
the purging knife of God. Let me tell you why he purges you. Because you're doing something right. And he's just trying to speed it up so you can do more for him and more for him and more for him. I know that maybe I haven't explained this the best way that I ought to explain it. But all I know is this. I don't want to be that. I want to be that, don't you? How's it going to happen? Stay connected to the power source. And God will help you to live a life of fruitfulness. Let's all bow our heads, please, and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You've listened well tonight. I appreciate it. I have tried to explain this. I hope that I have not confused you. I've tried to explain it. God knows that. And I do know that it's an exalted privilege for God Almighty to look at you and say, you are a branch. I'm the vine, you're the branch. May God help us to see the exalted privilege that is. Father, take it, use it, break it in a mighty way. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. They're beginning to play through softly. I want to ask you some questions. Would you allow me to do that? Number one, are you a branch? Are you a branch tonight? I'm asking, are you a child of God? Do you know that there's been a time in your life when you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior? Have you been taken out of Adam and put into Christ? That means that there's been a time when you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord. If you've never done that, you say, Jody, as I sit in my pew tonight, I do not know if I'm a branch or not. But I'll tell you one thing, I want to be. I want to be a branch, I really do. If that's you, would you quickly, quietly, we're not going to come to your seat, we'll not call you out, but you say, Jody, pray for me. I'd like to know I'm a branch. I don't know that, but I'd like to. Anybody like that, would you raise your hand? Anybody at all? I'm looking. My eyes are surfing. You say, Jody, pray for me. And how many of you say, Jody, I'm a branch, but I'm going to be honest with you. When you held that branch up that's not bearing anything, and then you compared it to the fake branch, just like some of the branches that are still connected outside, you understand? I'm concerned that I'm more like the withered up branch than the branch that's producing fruit. Have you say, Jody, if the Lord is counting leaves in my life, I don't think He would find too many. Have you been an honest person and God is speaking to you about this? Would you be an honest person? Would you raise your hand? You say, Jody, pray for me. I'd like to know that I'm bearing fruit. What I'm asking you is this. Are you like the Lord? Are you like Him? I'm not asking you, are you perfect? But is He living through you? Have you surrendered your will to Him and allowing Him to live through you? Are you abiding in Him? Are you fellowshipping with Him? Are you communing with Him? Have you say, Jody, there's a time in my life, every day of my life, when I'm getting alone with the vine and I'm drawing power from Him. I'm communing with Him. I'm fellowshipping with Him. I'm talking with Him. He's talking to me. I'm trying to abide in Him. I'm trying to get His strength in my life. I am trying to live in the power of the Holy Spirit. I really am. I'm trying to do that, Jody. I really am on a daily basis. If you can say that, would you raise your hand in the air, please? You say, I'm trying to do that. Then keep doing it. Keep doing it. Have you say, Jody, I can't raise my hand to that. And God is speaking to me. And I realize I can't do anything without Him. God is speaking to me. If that's you and you couldn't raise your hand, would you be honest? Would you raise your hand now? Be an honest person. Be an honest person. Be an honest person. God help you. May the Lord help you. Are you in danger of losing your reward? Are you in danger of it? God help us to stay in Him. Amen. Let's all bow our heads, please. Let's all stand together as well. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Father, take it, use it, and break it, I pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's beginning to sing. If God is speaking to you, would you leave your place, please? As he sings, would you leave your place if God is speaking to you? And
would you come to this altar and ask God to help you as he sings, please.
Spirit of the living God,
are you a branch?
Oh, fresh on me.
Fruit of the Spirit manifested in your life. Are you like the Lord? Is his life living on in you? Is it?
Melt me.
Are you communing with him? Fellowshipping with him? God help you with him. Like you look this way, please. We're just about through. I'm going to turn over to the preacher. I draw a picture in your mind tonight. The devil would like to see you like this. You know, he doesn't want you to be a branch. But even if you're a branch, as long as you're not bearing fruit, as long as you just dry up, wither away, lose your reward, make no difference, he doesn't mind. I want to be a fruitful branch, don't you? There's only one way to do it. John 15:5, without me, ye can't do nothing. We have to humble ourselves, don't we? May the Lord help us with this. God help us with it, no doubt about it. Preacher, you go right ahead.
Okay, there we go. It put me a different mic up here tonight. I had to learn to. Thank you, Bertha Jody, for that great message. It's a great passage of scripture, isn't it? We need to abide in the vine so they can bear fruit. Amen. Now tonight, we've appreciated having the trio with us. Appreciate Crown College. And we're going to have the ushers standing at the door tonight. And we're going to take a retreat offering. And let's everybody give something. Let's help this group and help this great college. So let's be generous and have a good offering here tonight. So let's be dismissed in prayer. The ushers will be standing at the door. Everyone try to have a part in the offering. Brother Bob Bryant, would you dismiss us in prayer, please? Amen. Good night. God bless you. Remember the retreat offering as you leave tonight. Thank you for coming.